Watching from home on Sports Beat Extra.
Okay, welcome back to Watching from Home, episode 3. This is not the second time we've had to record this because I did not press record the first time. I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm joined with guests. Fair play to me. First of all, we have all the way from iRadio, Shane O'Loughlin. How you doing?
Hello, hello. I came down to Waterford to talk about the World Cup, and lucky me, I get to talk about it twice in one day, and I can't wait.
It's called preparing. That's what we did. We did a run through, is what it was. Yeah. And then we also have ex-mayor, twice ex-mayor, Adam Wise.
Yeah, I've been here for 7 hours.
I asked him to do this when he was still the mayor because I thought it'd be funny to have the mayor on who also plays soccer. I was like, that's relevant, you know?
Technically, you're always the mayor, you know? You're always a former mayor. It's like a president in America, so.
Like, Messi will always be a World Cup winner. They'll never take that away from him.
Well, they can take away the morality from me. They already did.
They tried.
They already did.
World Cup. Have we been watching it?
Yeah, I've been locked into it. It's the World Cup of YouTube highlights because all the matches are on at like 4 a.m., 3 a.m. that I'm not staying up for. I didn't stay up to watch Algeria versus whoever
casual,
they were playing.
Casual.
Jordan.
I've been up every night. I haven't slept in weeks.
Yeah. Well, you could sleep. You just sleep when they're not on. They're not on 24/7.
I have to watch the highlights in case I missed anything to prepare
when
for
you
this,
watch the match.
To prepare for this.
Okay, so what? Okay, then what was the best match you've seen so far?
Best match I've seen so far is probably the first game, Argentina's first game, Messi hat-trick, just because I love Messi. That was probably the best game that I've seen. The USA first game as well.
I really enjoyed the USA first game.
The opener, I know, like, football-wise it wasn't, but entertainment-wise, Mexico versus South Africa.
The South Africans.
There was a lot to kind of digest in that.
Yeah, there's a reason rugby is South Africa's main sport at the moment. There are rugby tackling lads out there. But my favourite game was actually England-Croatia.
That was a great
match. The 4-2, unbelievable. Yeah, when it went 2-2 in a half-time, could have gone either way, but apparently Tuchel's team talk are magical.
Yeah, they just get through it.
But disappointed for Croatia.
Just when you're talking about South Africa, segue. when you're talking about like South Africa and all the red cards, like there's like been like 7 or 8 red cards so far. But the most infamous red card was Paraguay's red card, and because Almirón covered his mouth when he was talking. Do you think that's fair?
I'm delighted that they've actually brought in a rule and are now enforcing it, because they also brought in random rules around the throw-ins having to take 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Not one time has a ref ever called up anyone for it, so at least there is a rule.
But there is pressure on them, and the whole thing with the goalkeepers feel a lot more under pressure to get rid of the ball. I know that's always been a case, like that's always been a rule, but I feel like...
Are they actually under pressure until somebody gets a yellow for it, or until something happens? Yeah. At least here, he covered his mouth, got the red.
They said they were bringing in these rules, and I think they're trying to introduce them kind of fairly enough, because obviously footballers are used to playing a certain way, and obviously there's a kind of extreme heat of it. Like, that was my concern with the throw-ins and the corners having to take everything so quick. Like, if it's 28, 29, 30 degrees out there, that's kind of your chance to get a bit of a breather. But you don't want what Arsenal did all year, where the game is only on for actually 40 minutes, so the ball's only in play. But the Almirón red card, like, you know fine well, you can't. If you're in a dispute with another player and you cover your mouth and you say something, you get a red card. I was actually really, like Shane, I was really happy to see that. Because you can't do it. You saw what happened with Benfica with the Real Madrid match, with all the dispute there. Like, FIFA can't have that on a world stage.
No.
And it should be kind of kicked out of the game. So that's the only way. You just send them off.
You're saying you take the break at the corners, but they have the hydration breaks every 20 minutes.
The Powerade-sponsored hydration breaks,
And that stupid ad every single time that comes on when you're watching the match.
Delighted that the crowd are booing them.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
I think it's quite funny
that boos are ringing right now. Because... at least I wouldn't care as much if they just came out and said, yeah, this is for American advertising, this is what it is. But no, they're trying to guise it in the fact that it's for the players or for safety.
Also,
it's not.
If it's a minute long, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you go out and get a drink. Like, they're chilling out there and the refs stop it up and everything.
How many ads do you think ran during the 2 hours and 10 minutes that France and Iraq had to be called off for?
Americans were loving that, I'd say.
I watched every single one.
What was your favourite ad?
Best customer. I don't know, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to give any free promotion.
I was at his house while it was on. He was not watching that match at all.
It was lightning. It was dangerous. But that's the problem. Like, is sport going to go that way where you have, like people are saying even the clock should stop when these hydration breaks are happening. Obviously, they're adding it on in extra time, but how accurate it is. Like,
they just add on three, lad.
It's the hydration breaks. They're a bit of a scam. You could change it. Like, there's ways to make it kind of fair. Like you, should the players actually be allowed to talk to the coaches? Should the subs be getting instructions? Should people be making changes and that. Like, should it just be a water break and coaches have to stay on their base?
I love the idea of bringing in the water boy. It becomes like, he's like, oh, he's won the Premier League with Liverpool. He's a coach, but he's just like hired as a water boy for Ecuador because it's like he's just got to give team talks running around the pitch, handing out a drink. Like,
do you think that the water breaks are more beneficial to the big teams or the small teams in this World Cup? Do you think it gives Cape Verde?
I think it suits the big teams more.
Do you think?
Because
I don't know.
Like, if you're, let's say you're Cape Verde, and you're just, it's one objective is survive.
Yes.
And then it's like you get this break, like suddenly Spain are like, well, if you notice, they're on the left, they're not as strong, like, you know.
True, tactically.
Like, don't go straight through Pico Lopez, you're not getting through, like, he's too good.
There is a point where, like, again, if you play football at that level, which I obviously don't, I play third division football in Waterford, but, like, staying compact for a prolonged period of time is actually kind of easier when you get taken out of that flow and you're off on a water break and you have to get back into that shape.
When you're in the flow of a match
and you have your four at the back, four in midfield, and you're there together as a line, it's easier to stay compact and not be broken down, and the other team get frustrated. If you give Spain, France, any of these big teams a chance to actually get on the ball and try break you down and figure out another way, and you lose focus because you're getting out of the game. You lose focus and it's easier to break through, I think.
But I think when you give the likes of Cape Verde and Curaçao a chance to reset, get their breath back against these big teams, I think you're giving them a chance to, rightly or wrongly, because I don't believe in these hydration breaks whatsoever, but you're giving them a chance to get their breath back instead of being lambasted in on goal for a whole 90 minutes.
But also, it's showing, like, the water breaks only matter when it's like hot enough for it. Like, if it's an air-conditioned stadium, like, who cares?
People are saying that England, how far they go in the tournament is strictly based on what stadiums they have to play in. If they have to go out and play in non-air-conditioned stadiums or take on the Azteca against Mexico, they're going to struggle. But if you keep them cooling, do you see Declan Rice's sunburn?
Yeah, his man gave
it up. You can tell he's fucking Irish.
Yeah, we talked about it last week in the podcast.
But he's not Irish.
When we're talking about weather, segue, the France match got abandoned from the weather from there. What do you make of that? Like, what do you think should be the limit in terms of time for these things?
Yeah, like, again, it was fairly ridiculous. Like, 2 hours, 10 minutes, 2 hours, 20 minutes for the match to be abandoned. But again, like, it is part of it. We knew going into the World Cup, they had these rules in place with regards that if you hear lightning, it has to be 15 minutes before you hear it again. So we were aware that this was going to happen. Obviously, there's volatile weather over there. So, look, they can't. There's 104 games to play. They can't replay these games. They can't push them out a week. They can't hold off. So, unfortunately, I think players just almost have to kind of put up with it. Like, it is crazy to think that you play 45 minutes of football, take a 2 hour break, and then go back out again onto a fairly waterlocked pitch, and you're worried about lightning hitting you. But, like, if that's just, it's going to happen again.
Hydration break as well. Like, do they take hydration breaks when it's lashing rain? Really, that's just like,
just open your mouth, lads. It's up there. I think it's ridiculous, to be honest. I think because America know what spots that these thunderstorms or adverse weather will happen in. Why are we throwing games on there whatsoever when there's so many other stadiums around the country that we could be playing in? And we're throwing out the likes of Kylian Mbappe, who could, if he doesn't warm up properly or if he's taking 2 hours off and he doesn't stretch, he gets injured out for the tournament. That's a massive character that we don't want gone because of lightning.
And he has scored a lot of goals. But he hasn't scored as many as Messi, who's just become the all-time top scorer in the World Cup, which is actually kind of mad when you do think about it. Like, the World Cup is the premier thing.
Klose had that record for such a long time, it feels like. And for Messi to break it now, like I said, it's kind of a shame that he probably won't have the record for too long, because Mbappe is going to probably play a couple more World Cups.
He's probably going to play a couple more games, he might be.
Well, unless he gets hit by lightning.
Unless he gets hit by lightning. Please God. I want Messi to have that record. But like Messi has done it differently to most people. He's actually kind of like, he's gone to the MLS. He's had an easier club career to extend his Argentinian career, because obviously he said after winning it in 2022 that he wants to play as a champion. He wants to play for Argentina more. And he single-handedly, I know, like, Argentina are a good squad and are bringing everything through Messi and are playing the ball to him. But, like, he's still dragging them through this tournament again 4 years later on from doing it in Qatar.
Well, here's the question. Would you bring Messi to the next one if you're Argentina?
4 years away. Like well, anything could happen. He could be washed like Ronaldo.
Yeah, does Messi want to play
in
another 4 years?
But even if he's not playing, like, Messi on the bench to bring on for the last 20 minutes is still...
We will see, actually. It's a good case study in Neymar. When Neymar does get fit and Brazil get later on in the stage, will he come off the bench? Will they use him at all? Will they care? Or is he just there to chat to the young lads?
Yeah, I think that's probably like a cameo kind of thing. I'd say they brought him just because Ancelotti knew he'd be under serious pressure if Neymar wasn't in the squad. The country would have went mad. So I think you bring him, and like maybe when they're qualified now, the third game, if he was fit, he probably would have came on in this game. He's probably not ready for that. But if they're 4 or 5 nil up in a last round of 32 or 16, there's a good chance that he comes on for 5-10 minutes, gets an appearance at the World Cup.
A few rainbow flicks.
Yeah. Do a little like Rabona.
Yeah, at least similar player to me, actually, to the way that I used to play, injured all the time, come on, do something stupid.
In his current state where he can't walk, that's what you are in your prime.
He would still run rings around. Well,
it is a thing of, we're talking about matches. Do you think Brazil are going to beat Scotland? I think Scotland are going to beat Brazil.
That's a great game coming up.
And a great segue.
We had a clean segue. We won. Beautiful clean segue. Okay. Okay. Scotland versus Brazil. It's only such a big game because for once, I think ever in Scotland's history, people think that they have a chance against Brazil.
I think the hope and like just the atmosphere of Scotland, I think is going to bring them through.
Yeah. Every World Cup has a story. Like the story so far has been Cabo Verde, Curaçao, but like John McGinn could be the story of this World Cup. John McGinn could score the winner against Brazil in the 90 minute.
Imagine.
He could rip the top off, he could do a rainbow flick over Neymar on the bench, you know,
neither of these things could contribute towards a goal. That is a yellow card and totally unnecessary situation.
Like Brazil are effectively qualified, Scotland pretty much, we think. Yeah. So like they could play with absolutely no fear out there. Like all those Scottish lads are at a World Cup playing against Brazil, playing against Carlo Ancelotti. Like when are they ever going to get the chance to do something?
John McGinn just goes through Neymar.
Oh my god.
Unfortunately.
Well, on the bench.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Scotland are going to get pumped in this game. I think people are going with their hearts over their heads with this one. They struggled against a very poor Haiti team and scored once. It was John McGinn, to be fair.
Yeah.
But
They also only lost 1-0 to a very strong Morocco team.
But did you think Brazil looked that good?
I don't think they have to be that good to beat Scotland.
Oof. Big call there.
You are not going to be popular on the streets of Glasgow.
Yeah. Never wanted to be.
I don't know. I think Scotland could surprise us. This World Cup has thrown up a lot of like big teams. Like Belgium haven't been good. Turkey haven't been good. There's no reason why Scotland couldn't drag out a nil all or nick a late goal and get a 1-1 result against them.
Turkey are already gone. It's Turkey, Haiti, and who has it? Tunisia are gone already.
Yeah, Turkey being out is such a big disappointment. The other two names there, I think you must have been. But then again, Tunisia sacked their manager, so I don't know what they were expecting coming into this tournament. But Turkey will be really disappointed.
Turkey were I thought they were going to be the dark horse.
Crazy shout.
They've been everyone's dark horse since 2018, and they've never been good.
They reached the quarterfinals in 2002, actually, you know.
Wait, how long ago was that? Were you even born?
About 10 years ago.
About 10 years
ago. I was like,
Turkey, like again, as a league and everything, is where people go to retire. You know, it's where people that have bad injuries.
One of
go.
The leagues.
You know, but Turkey just doesn't have a good level of football. They have like one or two players that are kind of bit part players. Like Arda Güler was the guy they were all looking at.
And
he's a bit part player in Real Madrid. He's not a leader. He's not a superstar. He's not a Haaland that could drag Norway through. He's not a John McGinn that could drag Scotland through. Just get him in.
McTominay. All around better than John McGinn.
No way.
In every facet of the game.
John McGinn is qualifying for Champions League football with Aston Villa. Scott McTominay is overplaying in Naples.
But another league where people would say players would go to retire is the MLS. And America look like they can actually play football, which no one was...
Segway.
Fuck off! Edit that out. Sorry, very unprofessional from Shane there. To ruin the segue.
No, America have actually been really good. Like, they genuinely have. Like, the first game, I was very impressed. And then I was like, can they keep it up? Maybe it's just the hype or whatever. Tom Cruise, David Beckham, Robbie Keane were hanging out. It's like, maybe they were doing it for the big three. But they've done it in the second game as well.
Yeah, but they've been building this. Like you said, you mentioned David Beckham there. Segue. David Beckham came
to... segue to anything.
David Beckham went to LA Galaxy in, 2005, 2006? And since then, the MLS have had the goal of building that brand. And young people have been playing football. And the USA team has been getting better and better. And I'd say it. I can see a world where in the next 20 years, USA win that World Cup.
It's insane. That is
insane. I don't
think
that's insane.
Because,
why is that insane?
The likes of Japan, Ange Postecoglou was saying that they are on a 100-year plan to win a World Cup and they have 60 years left of that plan. If Japan are, we've all seen Japan so far doing really well, if they're 60 years away from a World Cup, USA are 100, 150.
I actually do think it's crazy. Like, I think America have the numbers in order to like really do academies and stuff well. Like Japan, I think, is very regimented. We're going to have like these gradually increase. Whereas America, I feel, can have an influx of people in like 10 years.
And I don't think in Japan their main goal is sport. Like in the USA, it's be world champions of everything. World champions of basketball, world champions of baseball, American football. Like there's no reason that like what they'd say called soccer now. Like they brought over Pochettino as a European manager to try and lead that new generation. They're going to bring coaches from all over the world to America to try and build.
They might you in.
They could bring me in if they want someone to tell them how to fall over the ball, not be ready for a match, not be fit. But like I just think there's going to be huge investment now after this World Cup of young people. Like look what they've done to the MLS. They brought Lionel Messi to the league. Like how many people that are 5, 6, 7 years old are watching the MLS for the first time now? Oh my God, Shane,
we got to bring the attention. Sorry.
But like there's so many people that are watching the MLS now that in 20 years' time, there's no reason that they couldn't be competing.
I think weirdly, USA struggle from a similar issue with us. Obviously, we're on a much smaller level, but people are taken away because everyone wants to play football, American football. Everyone wants to play basketball. Everyone would rather play baseball as a bigger sport over there than football. Yeah. Same with us. We've the GA. We've people with rugby team are way bigger than our football at the moment. They just are split too many ways for their football to... They will get better incrementally, but not in a massive way.
But there are teams that are like making their first appearance at the World Cup and they're doing well, you know? Like Curaçao, Cape Verde, Egypt won their first match. That was a segue, by the way. It's so nice to see these teams that like don't usually get into these tournaments actually making a dent. Like nobody, like Curaçao and Cape Verde were like 2000-1 to win the World Cup. I actually don't know what the odds on them are now, but I imagine it's much less because like, they actually physically could now, like, you know, they're not going to, but it's not as out there.
It could be a Leicester City story or something.
It could be
a
Leicester City story. Crazy.
Knockout football is funny. Like no one's saying that they're going to get to the final or win it, but like, can they get out of their group even? Like if they would get out of their group, I think they get a huge achievement.
I do think they get out of their group. They're playing Saudi Arabia.
So Cape Verde, we're saying, are going to get out of the group.
I think Cape Verde are going to get out of the group. I think Pico Lopez is going to go all the way to lift.
What a hero, by the way.
Yeah.
From Shamrock Rovers to, and it will have changed his life now because he's going to get to,
I think he's going to get signed by somebody. I think
I need to check my LinkedIn to see if I have any offers to play for any other.
Do you have
country.
Any links that you could potentially have?
Got to be someone out there that would take me.
Gotta be any San Marino like links or anything like
Neymar
that.
Neymar doesn't come back from injury, maybe. You know,
that's what Ancelotti had on his list. Yeah. Like, oh, Neymar is like, oh, I'm torn between him and Adam Wise.
But yeah, like I said, there are teams now that, like, there are countries that wouldn't have expected to even score a goal or get a point. So like imagine being over there now. Like we're so unfortunate that we're not at the World Cup because this place would have been going absolutely mental.
Oh, imagine.
With the weather that we're having now. Like
everyone's happy anyway.
Everyone's in a good form. And to watch Ireland play in this World Cup, because looking at those smaller countries, what they're doing and big teams not performing, Belgium, Turkey, Spain weren't good in the first game. Like we could have nicked a result against someone, surely. Like we could have had a World Cup win.
Speaking of like Irish, like I've seen people watching the Ivory Coast games, like Cote d'Ivoire games, but like having the screen inverted so that they're watching an Irish flag.
Yeah, there's a
so
pub
supporting it.
There's a pub somewhere in Dublin that has turned into an Ivory Coast pub where for all the games they flip the flags around, they have like Ivory Coast, they have the national beer, they have the national food.
That's so
Yann Diamande from Galway, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like they
I know he's going to be signed by Liverpool soon.
Hopefully.
I don't think he looks that good. He hasn't looked that good in the World Cup, I don't think.
His story is crazy though. Have you heard his story?
No.
So basically, like he grew up in like the slums, and then he basically gradually made it through. And people thought he wouldn't make it. He got turned away from academies and stuff. And like his sister was like adamant that he's going to become a star. And then he made his debut, and like scored in his debut. And then like soon after that, like his sister died. She was poisoned at some party when she was 15.
Oh,
so like the fact that he got to the World Cup and stuff. He did this big emotional Instagram post that like it was essentially for her, and her name won't get forgotten, her memory won't be forgotten.
Okay, and I just said he's not really playing well.
Yeah.
Feel bad now. Like, no, that's great.
But like it's
there's
nice
a huge
to
amount
see.
Of pressure on him though. There's a huge pressure, like 120 million euro price tag from Leipzig, playing at a World Cup, 20 years old?
He's 19. Yeah.
Like it is a huge amount of pressure because all eyes are on him. When you're watching Ivory Coast, you're watching him and Amad Diallo really are the only two.
And I love watching the transfer news as World Cups go on because there's loads of people putting themselves in the shop window. Like there's himself, there's Barkala that everyone's talking about.
Bergvall was like, I'm gonna leave Tottenham. So he's based on, like, hopefully he has the next good game for Sweden.
Yeah, he better hope so. Yeah. I don't think he's done that well.
No. But I feel like there's a lot of people that, like, they might have one good match in the World Cup, and then people are like, I'm going to sign them. It's like,
James Rodriguez,
yeah.
Perfect example. He scored one great goal and suddenly gets signed by Real Madrid.
He was.
Yeah, he was. But, like, there was a time, like, in the, I think, 2002 World Cup, like, where Liverpool signed a load of Senegalese, Jao and El Hadj Diouf. Players because they had performed so well in the tournament. I'm not sure that happens as much anymore now because I think, like, the scouting network is so large. Mm. Like, you know, you're seeing all these players from all over the world.
I think you're
going
to see Pico Lopez going to some...
Pico Lopez could go to Tottenham and do a job better than Romero. You know?
Yeah, because Cape Verde is such a cog. I'm not sure that Pico Lopez... I don't even know what age he is.
You could see him going to a League One team.
Could.
Or even like a Wrexham or something for the sake of the...
But he's a story here in Ireland. Like, he's a story here in Ireland. Yeah. Like, I don't know how big the story is.
Tim Payne has actually gone to a new club over the World Cup.
To
who? I can't remember. But he has moved club away from Wellington Phoenix.
That is just great PR, though, to sign someone like Tim Payne who's had a massive story around him.
It's interesting to look at, say, like, the Cape Verde keeper, Jairzinho. Like, 10 years ago, if he had had this World Cup, he would have been...
Jairzinho. Jairzinho is a Brazilian winger.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, if he had performed like this, he would have gotten a big move to someone.
Yeah, but he is 40, though.
40 years old now, it's too late. But, like, how has he been this good all his long, or is he just having the World Cup of...
Well, it's like a Choa type vibe, isn't it?
Yeah. And does he make it into your World Cup five-a-side team?
Well, we must wait the World Cup five-a-side team. It's a great segue there,
Don't
Shane.
Say it!
basically what we're going to do is we're going to make our five-a-side team of the tournament so far. The lads have picked out some players for us. And then I'm going to be the deciding vote. They're going to make an argument for it, though. So I'll go by whatever argument is best. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go with a keeper, a defender, a midfielder, and two attackers.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, of course.
So we'll go with keeper first.
Okay, well, not Jairzinho, Vizinha. The Cape Verde keeper. But, like I think he has to be in it. Like, the amount of saves that he's made, the performance he's had, the story, the fact he's 40 years old playing at the World Cup... and keeping, like, some serious players out. Mm-hmm. I think he has to be. I don't need it as an argument, to be honest. I'm not sure you could even say another name and you'd be convinced, Brian, because I know you're on my side here.
Yeah. No, the only other name you could throw out there is the other minnow, Curaçao's keeper.
Room.
Is that his name?
Room.
And I think he's made the most saves in a World Cup match ever against Ecuador.
Second.
Is he second?
Yeah, I think it's like Tim Howard or something was first.
Fair, but he... Unbelievable against Ecuador, but I think... The bigger story is Vecinha.
Yeah, well, I think he has to be in goal.
Yeah, against Spain. Sorry, he's conceded two goals. He hasn't lost a match yet.
They haven't lost a
he
match.
He kept a clean sheet against Lamine Yamal and Ferran Torres.
Against the favourite team.
No, we'll go Vecinha then.
Okay, defender. Well, what are we thinking?
I'm going to throw Cabarsi in there. I think he's so young. He is only going to get better, and Spain haven't conceded a goal yet so far. I know they've played two weak teams, but... Mm.
Well, that leads me to, like, again, I think, like, Spain, you wouldn't expect to concede goals against those teams. They have probably, I bet if you looked at it, probably 70-80% possession in those games. So how much is he dealing with? Like, who I've been impressed with that I've watched because it's USA, it's home soil, is Chris Richards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chris Richards from Crystal Palace. Like, every time I've watched him, he's leading that defence. He's right in the centre. He's ensuring that the USA get the ball up the pitch quick. I think he's a brilliant defender in the Premier League anyway. But he's come into this World Cup on home soil as a Premier League defender playing in a USA team which doesn't have a huge amount of superstars. And he's impressed me a lot now with the way he's taken on that pressure.
I think it's a case of Spain, okay, they haven't conceded anything, but also like watching the Spain games, like I saw their keeper in the opposition half. So like they have not been under pressure at all. So I don't think they've had, like, I think there was a stage where they actually kind of forgot that the Spain keeper was essentially there because they have had nothing to do defensively.
But then I feel like Richards called it soccer, so I don't know if we can put him in a five-a-side.
I call it soccer as well. So I'm gonna give Chris Richards the go on this.
So fair.
Okay, midfielders, who are we saying?
I'm going with Morocco's Brahim Diaz.
Okay.
Morocco have scored two goals so far in this World Cup and he's assisted both of them.
Not bad.
He did bottle the AFCON final though.
Senegal or Team Morocco on this one.
I'd put forward someone who I don't want to put forward, but I know they've only played one game, but Jude Bellingham in the England game of Croatia. There was huge drama over whether him and Morgan Rodgers would play. And like he showed why he should be playing. Like, he's number 10 for Real Madrid. He's a superstar, whether we like to say it or not. He'll probably play again tonight when the game goes out. They're playing Panama at 9 o'clock tonight. And probably have another goal or an assist by the time you hear this.
Yeah, make a prediction now. Do you think they scored? Actually, we
that'd be Panama win 5-0.
I actually would go more on the side of Brahim Diaz.
Yeah.
Because I do think like Jude Bellingham is a good player, isn't he? But also the team he has around him, he doesn't need to be. Do you know what I mean? So like they've only played one match as well, by the way, and they kind of started like Croatia's goals were kind of at the end of the...
Yeah.
They were kind of like tail-end goals. And they were dominant for the entire thing. Like
Brahim Diaz was making like Brazil's defence, like Gabriel, look ordinary. He was skipping by them, if
Gabriel
you're watching that match.
Gabriel is ordinary when he's not in...
He's
an ordinary defender when he's not in the Arteta system.
Oh, my
God. Around ball.
Interesting.
I think John McGinn's just going to live life.
John McGinn is actually going up front for us on this 5-19.
Okay, I'm going to go Brahim Diaz.
Okay.
Okay, then attackers... What are we thinking?
First one we're obviously going to agree on.
Yeah, Messi.
I think Messi has to play. Messi.
Yeah,
I think Messi is the best player in the world. I still think...
Currently.
I still think if you put him in any team in the world, he's still probably the star player.
He is still the best player in the world in international football. I think it's a slower game. It's especially in America with the heat and with everything. It's slightly slower. He's going to...
The heat does suit him as well.
But like, he played in America now for 2 years as well. So he's
I'm starting to think that's the only reason he went to the MLS.
I think that was probably part of the negotiations.
Yeah.
You'd be ready for the weather and
stuff. $100 million a year. Yeah.
He's doing so many brand deals as well. That's actually insane.
Yeah. Messi has to be in there. 5 goals in 2 games.
Yeah.
All-time World Cup goal leading scorer for however long it is. But he has to be. He's still by far, I think, the most impressive player I've seen in the tournament so far.
So it's just who do you put beside him? I don't want to say Mbappe or Haaland or anything boring because they're too obvious. And I don't think they'd play well with Messi. Or I don't think Haaland's a five-a-side player. There's only so much like bicycle kicking or but getting his foot over someone's head.
Are they playing this five-a-side down the villa? Like, is it just?
We're actually going to be playing against them.
Then I want to put in John McGinn. I want to meet John McGinn. Yeah, like Haaland and Mbappe have had obviously great tournaments, but again, I know Messi played with Argentina, but just at 38 years old to do what he's doing is impressive. But like Haaland should be scoring goals for Norway. Mbappe should definitely be scoring goals for France. Another name that's done very well with limited time is Undav from Germany.
Yeah.
Havertz has been actually very good, like holding up the ball, winning free kicks. Undav, I would think, could be up there as an option for our five-a-side team.
Because Undav, he scored a goal every 19 minutes in the World Cup.
And he scored the winner for Germany the other day. Yeah. And the two goals helped them.
Insane records.
And great goals.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with Undav?
I'd put forward Bradley Barcola. I think he's the unsung hero in France. I think he's done 10 times better than Dembele has so far. And as we said, we're not putting Mbappe in. And he is the fastest player I've ever watched play football.
You've never seen Adam.
He has. he's skipping by people in the World Cup. I genuinely watch out for him because he's gonna blow up this World Cup.
I genuinely do think the next World Cup Barcola is going to be like insane. I think he's going to be a top player.
But if Kylian Mbappe is listening and he finds out that Bradley Barcola is ahead of him in our five-a-side team, he's not going to be happy.
Basically, he's going to get hit by lightning.
He won't come on this program.
I think, he's supposed to be the guest next week.
Yeah. Burning bridges.
Yeah. I actually would nearly go with Undav because Barcola is PSG. He's like, it's one of those players like Mbappe. You expect this. But Undav is Stuttgart.
Yeah, Stuttgart.
But
to be on the bench
and come on and carry Germany is actually massive. Like
when they needed him.
Only argument I'd have against him is what was the name of the striker in the last Euros that played for Germany? And he was the next big thing and he was coming and he moved to West Ham.
Fulkrug. So he's now no longer with West Ham.
We've seen this
West
before.
West Ham are no longer with us in the Premier League.
They're no longer with RIP.
RIP, West Ham.
We've seen this before with Germany where they burst onto the stage with a new star up front and then they are never to be heard again in the club game. I'm happy to go to them in the five-a-side for now, but keeping a close eye on.
Now we're going to look forward to the games coming up. So what games coming up are you looking forward to?
The biggest game obviously is the Mbappe versus Haaland, Norway versus France game that's coming up, but again, like effectively those teams are already true.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like I'm looking forward to seeing what Portugal do. I think looking at Portugal's midfield, like they if you name the three best midfielders at the World Cup, they all play for Portugal, I think.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Then how come none of them are mentioned in your five-a-side team?
Because they did not perform well at this World Cup.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe Bruno Fernandes should have had a slip.
But he's not, but they haven't done it yet. And like they play Uzbekistan. Again, by the time you hear this, they'll have either crashed out.
Do you think Ronaldo, in the game that's on tonight,
yes.
Do you think Ronaldo will score?
I hope not.
No. I genuinely don't think he's past it. And the only thing I'm looking out for Ronaldo in this game is whether he gets subbed or not. Yeah. Does Martinez have the balls to take him off? I think if they do, they'll win handy.
He could sneak a penalty.
I think he's going to get a penalty.
You know, I think they'll get a penalty. I think Bruno Fernandes should be taking their penalties.
Yeah, Ronaldo's not going to.
Because Ronaldo is 100% reading all the articles about him. Everyone online talking about will he score or not. He'll be taking that penalty and be thinking, you know, this is it for me. This is a great chance. But then, like, Lionel Messi scoring hat-tricks.
I did see a bet on whether or not Ronaldo's going to cry. Like, people are betting on that.
That's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
I have €1,000 on.
any other games? What other games coming up are you looking forward to?
We mentioned Brazil-Scotland, of course. That's a massive game.
John Ginshaw. That's going to be big.
And not a game that I think is going to be particularly great to watch, but Cape Verde and Saudi Arabia, to see if Cape Verde do make it through to the next round.
I will be locked and loaded for that.
100%.
That's two teams that are going to try drag it out to 80, 85 minutes and nick a goal at the end. Like you know what? Tactically, it will be interesting to see.
But I think it'd be interesting to watch Cape Verde when they're not just heavily under pressure the whole time.
Yeah, true. And they got two goals against Uruguay, however scrappy they were. Like, they came out to play football.
That game, the Curaçao game against Ivory Coast, to see who goes through in those groups. A lot of the groups are kind of almost decided, I think, when you're looking at them on paper. But there's not a lot of jeopardy for a lot of them anymore.
Do you think there's going to be any shock group exit for anybody?
Belgium could be in serious trouble.
My bet is Belgium. They have to face New Zealand. They're only on 2 points so far, so they need a draw realistically. But the Belgium fans aren't going to settle for that. They have to win that game. And New Zealand, Tim Payne, is going to come up with the winner. New Zealand win that game, which they're well capable of doing. Belgium are probably out.
But the whole thing about Belgium's golden generation is like, did they have one?
Individually, masterclass. Like Kevin De Bruyne with good players around him, unbelievable. Like Lukaku had spells where he was one of the best strikers in the league that he was in. You know, Jeremy Doku had a great finish to the season with Man City, but just when they play together, it just doesn't seem to work at all.
What do you make of the whole thing about Jeremy Doku?
I think it's very, not funny, funny is the wrong word, but obviously he got called out because he's going to leave camp when his, is it wife or fiance? I don't know.
Well, he's done already. Like the
he's gone.
Partner had a child.
Yes.
He went over to the child, to the mother of the child to be there for the birth of the child and then came back. Belgium said he was sick and then he came back and people are complaining about it. And people, I saw a TikTok of Troy Deeney being like, he's not going to skip that. And everyone
he's
be like,
also not having a baby.
I hate when I know, but it's like support for your parents. Yeah.
First child. Okay, fair enough.
And second child.
If you're second, I don't really care. I've seen this before.
Yeah, but of course, America being America, it was made such a big deal out of it. It's like, what's he going to do in that room? Is he actually going to help or do anything? He should be focused on the game.
Joke's on you. Jeremy Doku, actually, famous doctor. It's actually sharp for Jeremy. Doku is actually Belgian for doctor.
Yeah. But he's 100% right to do it. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, absolutely, you have to leave that. He'll play at another World Cup.
He will.
You know, like, again, you don't know. With this more things more serious than football, and for him to leave and go over there, like I would do the same thing, I think. But I won't be there in the first place.
Yeah. If you were at the World Cup and there's having a child, there was like, what is the event that has led towards that?
I would like to think that my fiance would understand if I wanted to stay at the World Cup. If somehow
she'd
I got
be happier if you weren't in the room. Yeah. Yeah. Knowing her, she would be happier if you weren't there.
It's the fact that it was definitely not planned, because there's no way 9 months out from a World Cup. Yeah. That was on purpose.
No, that's not tactical.
God works in mysterious ways.
What happened 9 months ago? Did they win the Champions League?
Yeah.
No. What? The season started? Or Liverpool versus Crystal Palace?
No, yeah, they just lost to Palace in the Community Shield.
He was like, let's go.
Mad. A mad baby.
Okay, that is it. It's recorded this time. What? Any final notes of thing? Any notes about the World Cup? What are we thinking?
I've enjoyed it so far. I know it's kind of peculiar times because you're in the group stage section of it, but I think, you know, when we get down to the quarterfinals, semis, it's going to be very good. I've enjoyed it a lot so far. There's a lot of good stories from it. A lot of people kind of trying to make a name for themselves. I'm looking forward to some of the games tonight, see how England get on, see how Portugal go, because I think there could be a shock.
The only thing that could ruin it is this weather. I know no one really cared about France and Iraq, but if we get down to quarterfinal, semi-final stage and we have that messing going on, people will be not happy.
And more importantly, if it's a game that I'm watching and it happens to.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't watching the France game last night, so I didn't mind too much. But if it's a game I'm watching and I have to wait for it to come back, I will be raging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much, Shane. Thank you very much, Adam. It's been great Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, brilliant.
Bye.
Segue.
Watching from home on Sports Beat Extra.